Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is called Bringing Holy to the Water Cooler. And our text this morning is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 10th through the 16th verses. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter's letter of encouragement is written to first century Christians, many of them brand new believers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, what is now called Turkey. The Roman Empire is determined to destroy this growing movement, so wherever the Christ ones are found, they are being persecuted and hounded. But Peter assures them that despite their suffering, God's purpose is ongoing. He tells them, because of Jesus' death on the cross, you are saved, so you're already blessed. Your response? As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter is referring to God's words first heard through the Leviticus laws. God says to the Israelites, the chosen people, you are to live your lives in distinct moral and spiritual purity. Since I chose you, you are set apart. You are to reflect who I am. Now, who is this holy God? I am who I am, God told Moses, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. This is a God who is supreme, omnipotent, omniscient, perfect, pure. God does not conform to a standard. God is the standard. God stands alone. He is so far above and beyond us. This is the Most High God. It's almost impossible to adequately describe the holiness of God. The prophets, Peter says, could only imagine it. Isaiah, remember him? He envisioned the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. But Peter tells the believers, while the prophets use their imaginations, you have experienced God in a holiness the prophets did not know, through the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, no less solemn, no less sacred, a sweeter, deeper, more abiding experience, a very personal experience. Peter urges these scattered believers that in order to live holy lives, they must prepare their minds and set their hopes on Jesus. Now, this letter is crucial for a number of reasons, but particularly because these believers are so far away from Jerusalem, the center of their faith. Persecution was the most dramatic challenge they faced, but there were all kinds of challenges. People were scoffing and ridiculing them. Things seemed to be going on in the world just as they had before they'd given their lives to Christ. In so many ways, it seemed like nothing different was happening. You know, they were expecting the world to be different because of the Spirit of a living God. So it's easy to see how they could feel removed from the hope and joy they felt when they first believed. 2,000 years later, things are very much the same. We may not experience the kind of persecution these first century believers experienced, but we still live in a world that mocks and ridicules and scoffs at Jesus. And we live a life in much of the world where it goes on as if Jesus has made no difference at all. Anybody who works in an office knows the water cooler is the symbol of the point that is the furthest away from faith. I'm sure that you've watched somewhere along the way that TV show that was really popular a few years back, The Office. Well, in that TV show, the water cooler is where all that stuff goes on at work. The water cooler is where rumors fly, gossip flourishes, where sinister plans are hatched, where affairs begin. I mean, it's just like a place where nothing really good starts. I'm sure there's some good things that happen. But generally, the water cooler is known for the sneaky things. Same kind of energy you can find at the laundromat, the barbershop, the beauty salon, the grocery store. Any place humans gather with our stuff, our issues, those places can be less than divine. So the question for believers is, how can we bring holy to those places? How can we bring holy to the water cooler? Is that even possible? How do we live out any aspect of our faith in the 9-to-5 day-to-day world we live in, let alone try to be holy? That's an incredibly high standard to keep. Is it possible? If we just stayed in our churches and stayed in our Bible study groups, it would be not so hard. But we leave church, we hit that first stoplight. By the time we get out the front door, somebody's messing with us, tempting us to be less than our best selves. By the time you get to work and have that first cup of coffee, well, you are ready to rumble in the mud. The last thing on your mind is holy. How can we be holy in a world that is so unholy? You know, when we think of holiness, we think of extreme practices, long black robes, or perhaps the monks or the nuns. Holiness for some of us conjures up images of those folks for whom every other word is a Bible verse. But when you go back to the Hebrew Bible, you read about a lot of holy things. There is holy ground. There are holy men. There are holy places, gifts and garments, anointing oil. So was it that much different from them or us? I'm not sure. These things were not holy within themselves. They were dedicated and set apart for God. They were made holy. You see, the only true model of holy that we know, that we can understand, is Jesus. As God's Son, he is the incarnation of holiness. Nothing in his earthly life deviated from holiness. Several years ago, the evangelical movement had this popular saying, "What would Jesus do?" And we all wore badges and bands, and apparently the success of the campaign is that we all knew the question. But the hard part was in the modeling. It is very difficult. And you can say you're holy and you can look holy, but God told the prophet Samuel, "I'm not interested in the outside. I'm not interested in what folks say. I'm interested in the heart." God must get deep in our hearts, and then his grace, his consuming fire, will burn out the impurities there. God changes our hearts. In manufacturing, there is a phrase called the industry standard. It means the acceptable level of imperfection in a product. Good enough for government work, that kind of thing. So we know when we buy a product, there is an industry standard. And doing just enough to get by, that's generally the industry standard. That's the attitude you find at the water cooler. We think we can do that in matters of faith, but that is not a part of God's economy. We cannot lower God's standard. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we will never reach God's standard this side of heaven, but we can't lower the standard. We have to shoot for that standard always. And that's where your heart comes in. Now, I'm not suggesting that we hold Bible studies or revivals at the water cooler. That probably wouldn't work. But the point is, where you intersect with the world is an opportunity to be what you are called to be. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Be still and know. Be silent and listen. God may have a word for you at the water cooler that you could pass on to somebody else. Call on Jesus. Really, call on Jesus. Know that Jesus is with you right there as much as Jesus is with you in church. And trust that Jesus will take control. I think our biggest challenge is sometimes we decide to leave Jesus at church or leave him at home and not take him with us to the water cooler. But Jesus is just the one you need at the water cooler. You can witness for Christ, not just in what you say, not just in repeating Bible verses, but having a mind like Christ at the water cooler. So maybe you can bring peace in a situation that has some chaos, or maybe you can offer hope to a person who's hopeless, or maybe you can show love to somebody who doesn't know it. The author of one of my daily devotions writes about a faithful parishioner in her church who travels a lot, and she's made a routine of remembering the people in church, calling as many as she can by name, imagining each person by face, and then praying for each person every day. That's taking Jesus with you. That's perseverance. That's prayer. So don't let the water cooler crowd make you think you can't represent Jesus there. They need to hear about Jesus more than anybody. They need to see Jesus in you more than anybody. For some, it may be the only time they experience Jesus. Have fun at the water cooler and have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let